This afternoon we focus on the teaching of Scripture that God is our Almighty Father, Creator of heaven and earth, as that is summarized for us in Lord's Day 9. And in connection with Lord's Day 9, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through to 34. The sermon will be especially focusing on verses 22 to 34 of the reading. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden which will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you are then not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have Give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor a moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us also turn to Lord's Day 9. What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth"? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who still upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. In him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this life of sorrow. He is able to do so as Almighty God, and willing also as a faithful Father. After the sermon, let us praise our Father in heaven with the words of hymn 65, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, most people have a phobia. A phobia is something that you're scared of. It's from the Greek word phobos, which means fear. And some people have a fear of spiders, arachnophobia. Some people even have a fear of elevators, elevatophobia, or a fear of embarrassment, catagalophobia. Or perhaps you're a xenophobic, someone who is fearful of strangers. And you can probably make up one if you don't have one. Some people have church phobia, ecclesiophobia. Some people have even a fear of Christ, Christophobia. Now, when our children are scared of something, it always reassures them that Dad and Mummy's around to offer comfort. In a similar way, the cares of this life can overwhelm God's children. They can cause them to doubt and cause them to waver, cause them to have fears, anxieties, cares, and worries. And Jesus knew this for his disciples as he was heading to Jerusalem. He knew how difficult it was going to be for them in Jerusalem to see him to suffer and to die. But they also knew how fearful and the anxiety and worries that they were going to have even after his ascension. And so he teaches them here to think clearly, clearly directing them to think about who they are and who their Father in heaven is, for their comfort, for their assurance. That there is no phobia, no fear, bigger and more powerful, no more overwhelming than the almighty power and the care and the love of their Father in heaven. The one who made heaven and earth. Now we can also see that and be taught that this afternoon from Luke chapter 12 as the teaching of our Father is summarized in Lord's Day 9, and we can do that under the theme of "Do not worry about your life on earth, for your life belongs to your Father in heaven." And we firstly see, do not worry about your life on earth. And that's where Jesus was. Jesus was on the earth, and he was here for a purpose and for a reason. On his way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And much of what Jesus had been teaching about discipleship, what it meant to follow him, was what it looked like to live in God's kingdom and the consequences that that would have on their life, the many cares and anxious possibilities that could overwhelm them and overpower them. And our passage specifically focuses on that, on Jesus' teaching about worry and anxiety. These are words repeated in verses 22 to 34, which we read together, but Jesus had begun this teaching already at the beginning of chapter 12, and that's why we read all those verses together. We see in verse 4 of chapter 12, he says, "Do not fear." And in verse 7, "Fear not." And in verse 11, "Do not be anxious." And in our text, verses 22, 26, and 32, "Do not be anxious. Why are you so anxious? Fear not." So on Jesus' mind here is the teaching of anxiety, fear, and worry that he knows that his disciples, that the children of his Father have. We see this theme throughout our text. Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life. Do not worry what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will put on." And it is a common thing to worry, beloved. Even the Apostle Paul, he suffered worry and anxiety. As he says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "Apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." So even the Apostle Paul came under the pressure and burden of anxiety and worry, cares of this world. So what is worry and what is anxiety? Of course, the best answer we can find to that is from Scripture itself. And a good way to understand worry is to consider other places in Scripture for where it is used. And it's interesting what is revealed. We see it in Exodus 5, verse 9. The same word used here in our text is used to speak about the labor that was increased on the people of Israel by Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh told them they had to collect their own straw to make the bricks. And so that increased labor became an increased burden for the people of Israel. Later, it is also used to speak of Israel again, about how the Lord will give them a place where they will no longer be disturbed from the outside. So they have peace and security in the land. The word is also used by David in Psalm 55, verse 2. He speaks about casting your burdens on the Lord. And so we see here anxiety and worry, this sense being caused by that which weighs upon us, that which disturbs us, that which was put on Israel to increase their labor and their work. And David being cast down by the burdens that weighed upon him because of his sins. And in the New Testament, we see the word is also used in the parable of the wheat and tares. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world," and that word there, the cares, it's the same word used here in our text. "The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." And so the cares of this world have the ability to choke out the word of God in our life. As it becomes bigger in our mind, overpowering, overwhelming, and permeating our thoughts. And Jesus also spoke to Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things." And in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Peter says, "Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you." So Israel and David, Martha, Peter, and even Paul himself, they all experienced worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety when the cares of this life, Israel's increased burdens, David's sins that weighed upon him, Martha's work in the kitchen, Paul's mission to the church, the persecution of Peter's readers overwhelmed consumed, overpowered, and permeated the minds. It burdened and weighed them down. And that's where worry and anxiety takes place. It takes place in the minds. It is a mind battle. And that is why it is tempting then to turn to things that dull the mind, like alcohol and drugs. But that is also why Jesus, in providing the remedy for anxiety and worry, in saying, "Do not worry," he gives us something to think about. He gives us four things to think about, to consider, our English translation says. He says, consider. And it is significant that Jesus says, consider. He doesn't say, look. He doesn't say, see. He says, consider. He says, think. Think about this. Think about the ravens, the birds. Think about the flowers. Think about the grass. What does Jesus want us to think about? Not only see, but to see deeper, to think and consider. Well, Jesus says, consider the ravens. He's speaking to his disciples here who are Jews. For us today, Jesus would say, think about any animal that annoys you. Maybe you have ants in the house. Maybe it's mice or rats in your ceiling. Maybe it's rabbits or snails that like to eat those things in your garden and your beautiful flowers. Whatever, for ravens, for these Jewish men, were animals that everyone despised, animals that no one would touch. They were like the pests that we would consider today. And yet, our Father in heaven, he feeds them. He fed the ravens even though they were unclean animals, despised by the Jews, no one would touch. And your Father feeds those pesky animals in your ceilings, those ones that eat your flowers and the vegetables in your garden. But are you not more valuable than all those? And yet your Father feeds them. He cares for them. How much more then is he not going to feed you? It's the point that Jesus is making to his disciples. So he wants us to consider that and think that. And Jesus also says, who of you being worried is able to add one cubit to his stature? In other words, is there anything that you can do to make yourself grow? Do we actually have control over our ability to grow? In a limited sense, we do. If you eat food and you eat healthy and proper food, then you grow. And if you don't eat, then of course you wither away and don't grow. But even when you do eat, do we actually cause ourselves to grow? What is it that we actually do to make our bodies grow? Well, nothing. It's something that just happens. Or it's something that is under the sovereign control of our Father in heaven. And so if something as simple as just the fact that we grow, if we have no control over that, will our Father not provide and give us all things that we need? If we're not able to do such a simple thing that most people don't even think about, that we grow, why are you worried about other things? And Jesus says, think about the lilies in the field. And today we can understand those to be common flowers, which we see a lot of at this time of year. Think of the many arum lilies that we see, or the flowers growing on the side of the road that no one pays any attention to. Think of those yellow daisies that pop up in our backyards and we mow over them without even thinking twice. Jesus says they neither toil nor spin. In other words, they don't knit themselves together. They are not busy sewing their beauty or beautifying themselves. They're not beautiful because they worked for it. It's because that's how God made them. And Solomon, in all his glory, who was known for his pomp and his grandeur, his fine clothes that people toiled at to spin the finest garments, the magnificence of Solomon's wardrobe does not amount to the beauty of a flower that we hardly pay any attention to in the field. And if God so created such a beautiful flower, so complex, Will he then not give you the clothes that you need? And Jesus says, consider the grass outside, which Jesus says is here one day and it's gone the next, thrown in the oven. In those days, people had earthen ovens made of bricks and clay in their house, or if not in the house, to the side of the house outside. And grass would often be cut and it would be left to dry, and it would be used as kindling to start the fire, or it would be used alongside the wood, which was common fuel, so that the wood would last a lot longer. And so if God clothes the field with grass where we find those flowers, and it's cut down one day and thrown into the oven the other day, will he not clothe you? And so Jesus gives us those examples to think about, to consider. And then he says, how much more will he not feed you? How much more will he not clothe you? And then comes that statement, you of little faith. You of little faith. A statement which on the surface seems so insensitive, as if we should tell people when they're worried or anxious that they just need to suck it up and get on with it. You just need more faith, that's what your problem is. Well, beloved, that is not the answer, and that is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not being insensitive to his disciples here. In fact, he is teaching them. He's teaching them about how to think when the challenges of life overwhelm, when they overpower or permeate our minds. Remember, that's where it's taking place, in the mind. So when the cares of this life, when they overwhelm our mental faculties and permeate us and overpower us, Jesus is saying that you're becoming confused with your priorities. Your mind is being challenged, it's being fought against in how you prioritize your relationship with God and what is happening in the world around you. What you wear to church, what you put on the table for dinner, the trembling and shaking due to the cares of this life, when they overwhelm or make us fearful and scared. We've lost our focus and our priority of God being the biggest in our life. It's not the biggest thing in my mind. Rather, there is a care of this life, a worry and a concern that is creating fear within my mind and in my heart. And Jesus says the remedy to that is to think clearly about who the Father is. The remedy to that is the Father and his Savior. Consider the other passages in Scripture where Jesus speaks to his disciples and calls them, you of little faith, because that is instructive for us about how to think about what it means here. Because this is not the only time that Jesus has used this phrase, O you of little faith. And so we compare Scripture with Scripture to help us understand what Jesus is saying. So for example, when Jesus is sleeping in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and there is a great storm, and the disciples turn to Jesus and they say, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus wakes up and he says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then Jesus speaks a few words. He calms a storm, the wind, and the waves. We don't doubt, beloved, there was a great storm that moment on the Sea of Galilee. But a storm had and was bigger in the minds of the disciples, bigger than the greatness of the Savior who was sleeping in the boat with them. Overpowered by a storm which they were fearful of, but ignorant and naive of the power and might of the Savior who was with them. And so their priority had become confused. Their priority was about the storm, the wind and the waves and their life. Their priority was not on the Savior who was with them. Think of another instance when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter goes out to meet him, and soon Peter begins to sink into the water and he cries out to Jesus, says, Lord, save me. And Jesus comes over and Jesus stretches out his hand. He catches him the moment that his head's about to go under the water. And then he looks at Peter and he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" No one doubts that there was great waves around Peter. No doubt overcome with the waves and the wind and the storm. But Peter's priorities shifted away from focusing on Jesus, the great deliverer, to the storm that was raging around him. And so he doubted. Another instance is when the disciples forget to take bread into the boat. Or another instance is when, or another example is when Martha is scurrying around in the kitchen, carrying her pots and pans and getting food ready and thinking to herself, "Where's my sister when I really need her?" You're sitting at the feet of Jesus, he's not going to feed the disciples. So Jesus gently says to Martha, he says, "Martha, Martha, why are you worried and troubled about many things?" See, Martha's mind was distracted by earthly cares. Distracted by earthly cares. And so her priorities had been diverted away from the great provider, the great carer sitting in her lounge room. Interesting, when we read this passage, it immediately takes after, not immediately, but it soon takes place after Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with two loaves and five fish. Who knows what the Lord would have done if Martha had prayed, said, "Lord, help." The Lord could have also produced once again a miracle of food for Martha and for the disciples. So Martha had a great care. Her mind had become distracted away from the great provider who was with her. And so the conclusion of the matter, brothers and sisters, worry and anxiety are because the cares of this life have become bigger than the trust that we are having in that moment in our Father in heaven who cares for us, who provides for us, and the greatness and power of our Savior, the one who can help us, our ever-present help in trouble. My heart and my mind are so distracted. The cares of this life have so permeated my mind and overcome and overpowered my mind that God and the Savior has become small. And so it is an attack on the mind, beloved. And so it is a call to look to the Father, to consider and think upon Him, who He is for His children and His people. That's the remedy and that Jesus gives to worry and anxiety, our Heavenly Father. And that brings us to consider our second point, that we're seeking our life with the Father. Now, when we are worried and when we are anxious, we're tempted to think of other things rather than to think about our Father. Tempted to think of other things rather than our Father. That's why Jesus gives the examples he does in verses 22 to 28, and he says, don't seek these things. Don't seek the cares of this world, food and drink and clothing. In other words, don't try to solve your worry and anxiety by worrying about what you worry about. If you're worried about clothes and food, but worrying about those things is not going to be the solution to your worry. It's so easy to be distracted in today's culture and society. We live very busy lives, and there are no end to the cares that can overcome God's people. My appearance, my children, my friends, the church, every single thing has the possibility of becoming a worry and a care that overpowers and permeates and overcomes my mind, confusing my priorities, distracting us away from our focus on and God who has revealed himself as a Father to his people in Jesus Christ. Things like social media, endless YouTubing, they increase our worry, our distractions away from the Father. Greater distractions mean more opportunity for worry and anxiety. This is why Jesus says, don't seek these things. Don't pursue after them. Don't make them the end of your life. That's what the nations are seeking for. The nations are looking for those things for their peace and their security, for their comfort, for their hope.
for their blessedness. And that's why Jesus gave that parable right before this passage about the rich man who sought to build himself bigger barns because he thought his security, he thought his life was bound up in his possessions and in his treasures. Jesus says, don't seek those things. Don't seek those things that cause you to worry. Well, food and drink and clothing are, of course, important. They are not the ends in themselves, but rather they are just a means to an end, a means for us to use to seek the kingdom of God and the kingdom of our Father in heaven. Our Father knows that we need these things. And so I can trust that He's going to give and provide those things. And that is what we are confessing in Lord's Day 9, brothers and sisters. In Him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that He will provide me all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my benefit whatever adversity He sends me in this life of sorrow. Such a beautiful confession to make. Worry and anxiety is often because we think we know what's necessary. It's often where our worry and anxiety comes from, when we think we know what is necessary for me and for my life, for my children, for the church. We need that, or we want that to happen this way or that way. It can be difficult to let go and realize that we don't really have control over much in our life. But God is the one who provides. He is the one who is sovereign in heaven as Father, directing the affairs of this world. And in fact, these cares come into our life under His sovereign power, under His sovereign will. These adversities upon our mind, these attacks upon our mind that confuse our priorities, that tempt us and make us see God as being smaller than He really is, they are adversities that come to us. He, in fact, sends them our way, teaching us our dependence and our trust on Him, bringing us ever closer to see His greatness and His power and His majesty, as He did in those times with the disciples. And so Jesus says to His disciples, do not fear, little flock. Do not fear, for it is your good Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's why Jesus was on the earth. And that's where Jesus was heading, beloved. Heading to Jerusalem to obtain the kingdom for the children of His Father. He was on His final trip to suffer on the cross and to die. He knew the anxiety and worry that would overcome them as well as after, and He ascended into heaven. But He was on His way to Jerusalem to obtain for them the kingdom of His Father in heaven. He delights to give you the kingdom. He sent His Son into the world to give you His kingdom, and His kingdom is a place of rule, where His Son rules over all things by His word and spirit, a place of peace and joy. And we read to that form that the kingdom is promised to us. We read that in the form for baptism, because they too are heirs of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is opened by the preaching of the gospel that we hear every week. So clearly it is God's delight to give you the kingdom, to give you His peace, to give you His joy that you may experience already in this life, but the hope of that fulfillment of the kingdom, of the joy and hope in the new heavens and the new earth. And so He says, fear not, little flock. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And He says here to believers today, fear not. Fear not, for you have the kingdom in Christ by faith, and a kingdom that awaits for you in glory. The Bible often calls God's people flock and sheep, because it's easy for us to stray, beloved. Easy for us to get distracted by the cares of this life, and we can be led astray. But calling us little flock in this passage also means that we need a shepherd. A shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep so that we would be led and guided by Him in the kingdom of our Father. And we as a flock also mean that we live together, beloved. Sheep live together. And they thrive and they flourish when they are together. They are herd animals. And so also believers, Christians, we are herd animals, so to speak, with a shepherd. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we won't have times where we're anxious and worried. There are going to be trials and tribulations that come our way. Jesus knew that for the disciples. He knows that for the church today as well and for the future. And there are just some times when we cannot overcome them by ourselves, often as much as we read and pray. And so we need each other. We need to read with each other and pray with each other. We need to share our burdens with one another. As Galatians 6 verse 1 says, we need to be real and sincere and genuine about our burdens and our troubles, about our anxious cares, so that we can seek God's kingdom together. So that together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And this is an article of faith, beloved. Believing that God created this heaven and the earth, but it's also creating a new heavens and a new earth. In Christ, I am a new creature bound for that new heavens and that new earth. And my Father in heaven will always care. He will always preserve all those who by faith persevere in Christ. And so there is no phobia, beloved. Bringing us back to the beginning. No phobia bigger than God. No fear that he cannot overcome by his word and spirit, but also as a community together, as his children. Until he leads and brings them into his eternal presence. A place not of fear, a place of joy and happiness. A place of his kingdom. Amen.